Welcome to the Tanakh podcast, and welcome to the final chapter in the whole of Nevi'im, Sefer Malachi, Perek Gimel, chapter 3. Our learning is dedicated to the success and safety of Chayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael, to the swift return of all of the hostages, safe and sound, and to the healing of all those wounded in this war in Gaza. And here we are. Gosh, Sefer Malachi, Malachi Perek Gimel, the last Perek of Nevuah. And the reason why we say this is because if you look at the final paragraph here, it ends off with Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi, Asher Tziviti Otam B'Chorev Kol Yisrael Chukim Mishpatim. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant, which I commanded them at Chorev, to all of Israel, all of the laws and all of the statutes. And then Hinei Anochi Sholach Lachem Et Eliyahu Navi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem Agadol V'Hanora. I'm sending you Eliyahu before that great judgment day, that fearful and great day. He will restore fathers to sons, sons to fathers. Lest I destroy the whole world, the whole land. It's almost as if he's saying, remember the Torah, it's over and out from this perspective. From this point on, I'm not going to talk anymore. So here's what you have to do. A, you have to keep the Torah. B, you have to wait for Mashiach. That's what there is to do. But I guess the question would be, why? Why does prophecy need to end at this point? Why can't prophecy just continue? Some will say that the reason that prophecy ended was because sort of the supply ran out. So to speak, the Shekhinah waned. We know that in the Second Temple period, many, many of the miracles of Bayit Rishon weren't there. The Ark of the Covenant wasn't there. And there is a sense that God was more present in the First Temple period and not so much in the Second Temple. Now, of course, one has to ask the question, why would that be? What does that mean? It's not really an answer. Because, of course, God was capable of being there in Second Temple. He didn't want to be there. That's why those manifestations weren't there. So the question goes back, you know, why are we in this situation? And I want to offer maybe a couple of explanations, a couple of directions. Direction number one, that the Shekhinah can only be there when the Jewish people are all there. And after the exile of the 10 tribes and after the exile of of Yehuda, and when only a fraction of the Jewish people come back to Eretz Yisrael, Nevuah is only able to rest. The Shekhinah is only able to rest on the entire collective, the Jewish people. And therefore, when we have only a she'irit, only a fraction of the people, and there is a large community in Egypt and a large community in Babylon, the formula doesn't work. It has to be the land of Israel with the people of Israel and the Torah of Israel. And you can't have one element without the other. That's option number one. Option number two is that somehow prophecy has stopped working. And I think if we read through Malachi chapter 3, we'll understand what's going on. Chapter 3 begins, or maybe the last verse of chapter 2, Hogatem Hashem b'divreichem, you have made God weary with your words. And they say, Bameh Hoganu. And they say, what have we said? And they said, and God responds, or the prophet responds and says, Ba'omarchem kol osei ra tov. What do you say? You say, everybody who does evil is good b'enei Hashem. Uvahemu chafetz. God likes the evil people. Or, aye Elohei HaMishpat. Where is the God of justice? The people are claiming that they don't see justice. God responds and he says, listen, if you really want justice, I can destroy all those who are evil and I can reward those who are virtuous. But who's going to survive a day like that? That's going to be a very, very difficult day. But then if we go to verse 13. It continues and says, Chasku alai divreichem amar Hashem. You've spoken harsh words against me, said God. And you say, What have we said about you? And the answer is, Ma betza ki shamarnu mishmarto. What's the point of keeping Judaism? V'chi halachnu kadora nit mitnei Hashem tzva'ot. As long as we've been loyal to the Torah, we've just gone backwards before God. V'ata anachnu ma'ashrim zeidim, gam nivnu osei risha, gam bachanu Elohim v'yimaleitu. Those who are evil are happy. Those who have done wrong have endured. Those who have dared God have escaped. In other words, what the people are saying is, Tzadik v'ralo, Rasha v'tovlo, the bad people have it good, the good people have it bad. And Tanakh is predicated, Nevuah is predicated on the idea of Schar v'onesh. Maybe let's go back to the second paragraph of the Shema, V'haya im shama tishmuel mitzvotai. If you listen to my mitzvot, then you will get Matar Artzachem Be'ito, you'll get your rain in the correct time, your El Malkosh V'asavta Deganecha V'tirosh Chavitarecha, then your agriculture will flourish. But if you follow other gods, or if you do evil, V'atar Tashamayim V'lo Yeh Matar, V'adama Lo Titinet Yivulah, then the land will dry up, the heavens will dry up, and there will be no success. The people are turning around at this point and saying, we don't see it. We don't see it. The people have rejected the basic paradigm of the Tanakh, the paradigm of Schar Va'onesh. And it's at this point that God says in Pasuk Tet Zayin, Ve'akshev Hashem v'yishma, God listens. Ve'yikatev Sefer, he writes down in a book, Sefer Zikaron ifnei Hashem, li'yirei Hashem lo'choshrei shemo. In other words, from now on, fine, if you can't see the right and wrong in history, I will receive from history. What you will be able to do is, everybody will get their personal schar v'onesh, their personal reward and punishment, but as a collective, the basic paradigm of prophecy, that in the here and now, I will reward and punish the collective of the Jewish people, that's not going to happen anymore. And therefore, if you want, at this point, prophecy has sort of exhausted itself. Now, the truth is that Chazal had already said this. The Chazal in the Gemara Megillah say that when Ahasuerus passed his ring to Haman, they're signifying the genocide of the Jews, this had a greater effect than 48 Nevi'im and 7 female prophets. And what they're effectively saying is that prophecy stopped to work, that prophets walking around the village square dressed up as this and doing figurative actions somehow was not influencing the people. But what's going to replace prophecy? And the answer is, what's going to replace prophecy? We have a Mishnah, Masechet Avot, which says, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe got the ultimate prophecy. U'masral Yoshua, Yoshua lizkenim, zakenim lenevi'im. The tradition went through the zakenim and the nevi'im, but the nevi'im passed it on to the men of the Great Assembly. And the men of the Great Assembly says, He'emidu talmidim harbeh. That's what we read about in the first Mishnah of Pirkei Avot. Establish many students. Asu siag l'torah. Hevei mutunim badin. The idea is that from now we're going to move from the era of prophecy, which is a message from God to human beings, to the era of chokhmah, to the era of wisdom, where we're going to have to come up with the messages ourselves, or in the words of Malachi, Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi, remember the words of Moshe, my servant. Or maybe I should put it in the way that Zechariah said it in Perek Zayin and Chet there, where he says, Hadvarim asher shalach Hashem tzvachot beruko b'yad hanaviim arishonim. He said there, you have to remember the things which God sent to you and God told you when you had the Nevi'im Rishonim. Who are those Nevi'im Rishonim? Those are Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel. I already told you, I already gave you the formula. Now you've got to, if I keep on preaching to you, you're not going to change. But maybe what you have to do is study those Nevi'im Rishonim. You have to study these books and understand what the message is by yourself. Because being preached to isn't working. The lessons that you learn yourself are more effective than the lessons that somebody preaches to you. Indeed, the rabbis came out with an amazing statement. Chacham adif min navi. The sage is better than the prophet. And that is because the rabbis didn't focus on distant visions or grandiose ideas. They didn't say things in generalities. Be righteous, love one another, don't worship idolatry. What they did was they devised practical programs. When people weren't keeping Shabbat, they instituted muktzah. These might lack drama, they might be very detail-oriented, but they worked. And where the prophets failed, the rabbis succeeded. It's very much a, if you want, not a top-down, not a message from God, but it was human beings using the Torah of Moshe in order to keep the message of the Torah of Moshe alive. And that's why here, as we're now going to move out of Nevi'im into the world of Tehillim, we're going to start seeing here in Ketuvim, once again, that the voice of man more than the voice of God. That's going to be what we're going to see. And Yishar Koach, wow, we've learned the entire segment of Nevi'im. And Be'ezrat Hashem tomorrow, we start Ketuvim. I'm looking forward to learning with you. Leitraot.